and we have 11 teams across 7 states, and we're looking to open a 12th team in Wundri. Following the latest round of fighting in Juba, we've really been heavily focused on child protection, so that's ensuring children have been safe during the conflict, and also registering and reunifying separated and unaccompanied children. We've also been doing what's called mainstream protection, so whether distributions of food or NFIs, that's making sure vulnerable people like the elderly and disabled, that they're registered and they receive food or NFI safely. The other major issue that we've been responding to is the sexual violence across Juba. So we've been working with local partners and IRC to establish referral pathways and to ensure people are provided with psychosocial support, so counselling and case management.
We do understand that your organisation has also been actively involved in family tracing and reunification. How many families have you so far managed to reunite, and the kind of success stories you would like to share with us this morning?
Sure. So, I mean, we've been doing family tracing and reunification for a number of years, but recently those numbers have spiked after the fighting. So currently in UN House, there's 212 children registered. However, 69 have been registered since the latest fighting. So we've registered 69 separated and unaccompanied children since the recent violence. We've only been able to reunify 4 in UN House so far. And then in Tongping, we've registered 40, and we've actually been able to reunify quite a large number, because a lot of those have been reunifications where both the family and the child are both within Tongping. I'd have to say one of the success stories, and I mean every reunification really is a success story for us, to reunify a child with their family, but actually there was one 12-year-old boy who fled into UN House during the fighting. Now, we were able to reunify him with his mother, who he hadn't seen for 9 months. So that was a young 12-year-old boy separated from his mother for 9 months. And following the recent fighting, we were able to bring them together. So that was a really great success story for the team in UN House.
Right. That is another story there. So what role can the non-violence peace force do to improve the security of civilians in South Sudan?
Yeah, so obviously we recognise we're only a small player. We have 200 staff in South Sudan, but really what we're focusing on is working with the community, so putting South Sudanese civilians at the forefront of our response and trying to create safer spaces and a dialogue for peace. So that could be anywhere, for example, in Rumbek or in northern Bargazal, working with the communities to try and ensure that we reduce violence and protect civilians, creating safe spaces like child-friendly spaces or weapons-free zones, and try to create a space where civilians can come together and resolve conflict in non-violent means.
And maybe for the sake of our listeners, can you share with us some stories how it feels to be a non-violence peace force in this country?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's obviously challenging. I'd have to be honest and say it's a challenging context in which to work, but it's also an incredible privilege for us to be here, to be working with South Sudanese civilians who are committed to peace in their country. And definitely the majority of South Sudanese civilians are committed to peace and bringing an end to the conflict. So it's an incredible privilege to work alongside South Sudanese civilians, both the community and my colleagues, who are incredibly courageous and brave people from all ethnic groups in South Sudan. So it's challenging, but it's also hopeful to see so many inspiring South Sudanese civilians committed to peace and putting, you know, often their lives at risk to bring about peace and end violence.
Right. And finally, Chris, how do you see the non-violence peace force overall ability actually to handle the current crisis in the country?
Yeah, so I mean, I think with non-violent peace, we're focused at the grassroots level, so the local level. We're not trying to, you know, intervene like IGAP between the two parties, but what we're really doing is working with the communities at the grassroots to strengthen the strategies that they already have. So that might be trying to, you know, intervene between a fight between cattle keepers in Rumbek, or to create a space for children in Southern Unity State where they can just play and develop themselves. So I think on a national level, you know, we're only a small player, but at the community level, at the grassroots level, we've had a lot of successes in being able to reduce violence and protect civilians by being present and amongst the community, and most importantly, working with the community themselves, support them to bring about peace and reduce violence in South Sudan.